Geekaholics, it's the Red Table Podcast.
Welcome to Synthaholics. Thank you so much for downloading this episode. This is Aaron O'Brien, and with me I have Double Dumbass on You, David Duncan.
Destroyer of booties. Mostly my own.
And I have Mick Ultra Disease, Ollie Michelle.
Yo.
Yo, Ollie Mick Ultra, how's it hanging?
It's light.
It's light. Oh. It's so light. Well, guys, we are in the midst of past the halfway point on the Hotel Chateau Picard, and we are in episode 6. So, and this is the Impossible Box.
And the inchworm just keeps inching along, just inching.
You can do it. You can do it.
You can do it. You can find the plot. You can find it. One day you will.
Guys, how do we feel about this episode without getting into spoilers? Just real brief thoughts.
Go ahead, Ollie.
I always enjoy them. I haven't... whenever I really dislike them, I come out and say it, but I'm just enjoying this. I mean, I liked the episode. I felt that it was heartfelt and emotional, but also moved the story along, and it was a little action-packed, and yeah, I liked it, without saying anything spoilery. That's pretty much all I can say, I guess.
What about you, Dave?
You know, in storytelling, you've got the rising action, and you've got the, what's it called? In storytelling, what's it called when you get to the rising action, and like it's like the climax? That's it, the climax. And I felt
surprised,
like,
you couldn't come up with that word.
Yeah, I know. I'm just... I had too many today, so it's just...
Mick Ultra life.
Yeah. It just escaped me. But, yeah.
The joke just wouldn't come up.
Yeah, just, yeah.
See? That joke just... They write themselves.
They do. Thanks, Ollie. the climax. And this episode, like... The way the show's been positioned, that this episode was sort of like a climax, and it, much like Bruce Maddox's dying as soon as he came on screen, basically in the last episode, it was a little bit frustrating. This episode, it wasn't as fulfilling a climax as I was hoping, since the entire show's been building to this moment, and that's my non-spoiler. Just it's my overall feelings for this episode. It was a little bit of a letdown, since we've been, like, gunning toward this moment since the first episode.
Right.
I don't know. There's so many moving parts, though.
Are there?
Like, there are, because you've got the artifact, and you've got... What is the ship that they're on? What's that ship called? What does he call the ship?
The La Quinta.
La Quinta.
No, it's not the La Quinta.
It's a hotel chain.
It's the La Quinta.
It's the Las Serena.
Yeah, same thing.
Okay, there's stuff happening there. There's stuff, PTSD moments happening with Picard. There's a lot going on. You get to see the...
This is non-spoiler section, Holly.
I'm not going... That's why I paused. You get to see what's happening with Soji. You get to see that weird relationship
with Narek
kind of come to a head. Mm-hmm. You get to see Picard truly vulnerable. You get to see Rafi,
a big mess.
She's a total mess. And, you know, you also see the doctor, Agnes, and she kind of succumbs to the weird vibes that I'm sure you all felt from last episode.
She's like, if I'm going to be a bad girl, I'm going to go all the way.
Yeah. So, like, there was a lot going on, and while... while, yeah, you wanted to kind of get to the point so we can figure out where the season is going, there still was a lot that happened in this episode, even if it wasn't the answers that you wanted.
That's true. How about you, Aaron?
How about you, Aaron?
Just before we were recording, I was telling Dave, I just feel like we finally got like the plot to engage where we wanted, and it was sort of just like, to me, there wasn't anything super exciting about this. It was sort of like how we kind of figured some of this was going to go anyways. And I just felt that they took 6 episodes to get here, and I wish they would have compressed that maybe to like 4 or 3 mm-hmm. episodes.
Absolutely. Every important beat that's happened in the show could have happened in a quicker succession and not really missed anything, really. I feel like
I was talking to a friend, you know, about serialized, you know, shows like Picard or anything else. And I noticed that these writers seem to stretch out dialogue and scenes. They don't really need to be stretched out too much longer. You can condense the writing a little more, and maybe you could fit for more plot. So it's just, I don't know. I think it's one of these things that are happening with these new serialized shows, that you're not getting more condensed plots. You're getting these really long, stretched out, you know, stories.
Yeah, I mean, I think it's just, I guess, a byproduct of the streaming networks and everything. Because, I mean, like, when Arrested Development got picked up by Netflix, the first season, all the episodes were like 30-something minutes long, 32, 33. And the thing is, the show used to play at a 22-minute, it was a 30-minute show, but it only had 22 minutes because it was with commercials. And the show was snappy and smart and fun. And with the extra padding in each episode, it wasn't nearly as snappy and it wasn't as funny. And it's just, you know, you're on a streaming platform. You don't have to account for commercials. If you can tell your story in less amount of time, tell it in less amount of time. If you need more time to tell your story, tell it in more time. I mean, I feel like and this was a 54-minute long episode, according to the front of the thing. And it was like, not a lot happened in 54 minutes from my point of view.
But I think the episodes leading up to this could have been condensed a lot. So that's my feeling.
I will agree with that. Yeah.
Oh yeah. Sure. Yeah.
Well, let's get into the full story and we'll get into spoilers and everything. So, this is season 1 Picard, and this is episode 6, aired February 27th, 2020, and we start off
the Impossible Box.
The Impossible Box.
Improbable.
It's
impossible for Narek's sister.
I dug out the Rubik's Cube. I don't know if I told you the story.
No.
And we've been trying to, like, you know, solve the Rubik's Cube, and like my kids have looked online on how to do it and everything, but I'm trying to do it on my own. Mm-hmm. We were at a pizza place, and there's all these college kids there, and like behind us was this young couple, and the guy goes, "Oh, can I see that?" He solved it in seconds.
So you should watch those videos where kids solve it in 2 seconds blindfolded.
My kids are doing it. Yeah, my kids are. Well, I'm not blindfolded, but they've gone and there's a way to do it. Anyway, so since this episode came out, I've pulled out the Rubik's Cube and I'm trying to figure it out. Super frustrated.
Yeah.
Anyways. Side note. All right. Okay.
Mania.
So the story starts out with a stormy night, and we see a young Soji walking down the hall, and she's looking for her father, and she goes to his flower room where he grows his flowers.
Where he deflowers to the people.
Oh, God. Once she goes into the room, she's going towards her father, and when he hears her father yell her name, and then she wakes up. She's back on the Borg cube, the artifact, and Narek's with her in bed, and she tells him that she had this dream, and Narek's trying to kind of like get information what the dream's about, and but you know, she doesn't want to tell him, basically. Mm-hmm. And then she starts going back to how, like, she was the remarks that he said that she was an imposter, and that she was, then she's basically saying that we don't, you can tell that she's like, well, what kind of relationship are we having here? Because before you called me imposter, and then Union says, and Romulans have a true name, and they only tell that to the people they love. So if you say that you love me, what's your true name? Mm-hmm. And he won't answer that. And he throws out something about, like, you should talk to your mom about all this, about your dream.
Talk to your mommy. Maybe she'll tell you my true name, because I've been sleeping with her since the...
right.
And she's like, how do you know I talk to my mom every night? And he's like,
I've been looking
at the
call logs. Yeah. Yeah.
He doesn't tell her about the call logs yet. He's just
and
like,
then he just and then he just walks out.
So. Your mama's so boring, she makes you pass out in 72 seconds flat.
Yeah. Well, that doesn't happen yet.
I know.
Yeah. So we go then jump over to Captain Rios's ship, the La Hacienda.
La Serena.
And we have Dr. Girardi telling Picard basically how Bruce Maddox's injuries were too severe and his heart just couldn't keep up.
Telling him lies.
Lies.
So it's weird that the computer program doesn't pop up and tell Rios about this whole thing.
Yeah, why didn't that happen? I so many questions about that emergency medical hologram. That's so ineffective.
Convenient that it just decides to disappear all the time, even though it pops up constantly.
Yeah,
it turns on its own all the time. Like it shouldn't been able to be turned off even when it's told, since it'll respond to emergencies on its own. It shouldn't be able to be dismissed when there's definitely an emergency happening. Like, there's lots of things they didn't even talk about it. They didn't bring it up. They didn't say, like, she deleted the logs, or, I mean, like, they could have, like, covered it up. They could have, like, done a little one line thing to, like, cover that thing up, and, like, I don't know.
Right.
Well, maybe that'll come out in another episode, but
I'm assuming it's going to, yeah, at some point.
I hope
So they're having a discussion, Elnor and Girardi and Picard, and basically says that Maddox told him that Soji's on the artifact, so they have to go there. And Picard basically talks about, Girardi brings up that he was assimilated to Locutus, and that there was, like, basic reading for, you know, when she was in college or what have the university. Mm-hmm. And Picard has a strong reaction to the conversation, and he basically said, you know, he calls them basically referring to the Borg as a cancer, that they're metastasized.
They metastasize.
Right. They don't get better.
Right. So, and Picard walks away.
Which he says something contradictory to that at the end of the episode, which is really sweet.
Yeah, I mean, but Picard definitely has some hang-ups, obviously, still about the Borg.
Yes, so, I love, this is the vulnerability that we really see. We really get to see him break down in this episode, and this is where it starts. And I just think it's so un-Picard.
It is, but maybe it is very much Picard, and it's nice to see that they write this into the story for once, because we see it, like, hints of it in Next Gen once in a while. Obviously, family is probably the biggest one, but we see hints of it scattered afterward, and maybe a little bit in the movies, but...
But we really get a lot of his depth here.
Yeah, for sure.
Which is kind of what we've been waiting for. I mean, when we did our, you know, lead-up to Picard series, we were just like, man, he's been so mentally traumatized. We can't wait to see him fall apart. I was really wanting to see him assimilated again, just to add more to the trauma. I mean, it could still happen. We got four more episodes.
It's funny that you say that you wanted to see him fall apart, because I just feel like that intro is all about him taking all these experiences and putting himself back together.
Yeah, it's sort of. Yeah, or all the parts that make him.
But, you know, he won't be truly whole again until he becomes Borg.
Until he becomes Borg.
Until he becomes Locutus again.
They pull all the parts back into him. So
he's missing lots of parts.
Picard goes to his holodeck study that's just for him, apparently.
Mm-hmm.
And you see that he's trying to decompress, and then he decides he's going to look up some subject matters. And there's another scene of him in front of the screen as Locutus, and he's kind of like horrified at what he sees.
Yes, and this is another, remember in the two episodes back when Soji was doing research and it showed the screen and it was her over her face?
Mm-hmm.
This happened again. So I'm really loving that.
That's cool. That's a cool. It was a cool effect. Mm-hmm. But then he, as he's doing his search through about the Borgs and the Romulans and everything else, he comes up with Hugh.
He finds Hugh on Grindr, and he's so, like, "Wow, he's updated his look since the last time we saw him."
Yeah,
that's good.
He's got some hair now. His implants are all gone. So Picard is kind of, you can see he's kind of pleasantly surprised by this. We don't realize this, but apparently Hugh is the guy running the Borg side of things for the Federation.
We should have known that, though, because when, I think it was probably like episode two or three, maybe, when Soji is actually
I didn't know that he was in charge at that point. I thought he was just kicking around.
I think that there's something mentioned about how, you know, he's going to take Soji to see Ramda.
Ramda, the Romulan.
And I think it's, at least I got the feeling at that point. I don't know, maybe it wasn't said, but I got the feeling that he was, like, running the show.
Besides the Romulans.
I mean, yeah, he's not, like, in charge, but he's, like...
Yeah,
the guy to go to.
Definitely. So we jump then to Rios. He's up late. He's kicking around a soccer ball, kicking against the doors, waking everybody up.
Was that like Pele? Because it didn't look like a Pele ball. It looked like a soccer ball.
I think it was definitely a soccer ball.
It's a soccer ball, yeah.
Okay. Yeah.
Because I thought like Pele was like the Spanish soccer, right?
Pele was a player.
No, I thought Pele was like a type of soccer.
No. Pele was like a super famous player.
I thought it was a volcano.
Well, we're all just...
That's what his lovers always said. But
yes, that's Spanish love. All right, so Geordi comes out because he's kicking around that ball, and she's... they have a moment where they're talking a little bit, and she decides that she, like we said before, she's going to kiss him, but she even says she has a superpower. She knows when she's making a mistake, and he's like, "Well, that's no fun." Yeah. So,
wow, you just turned me off. But if you keep kissing, maybe I'll get turned back on again.
So, but then she takes him by the hand, and so we've realized that they're going to shack up. So. So there's that.
She's like, I need him on my side when he finally figures out his computer has been deleted by me.
I know. Yeah, this is so she's definitely seems traumatized by what she did to Maddox. So
She kills Rios too.
You think so?
She's gonna fuck him up.
I don't know.
She slept with Maddox. She killed Maddox. She sleeps with Rios. She kills Rios. It's gonna happen.
She's a
Black Widow. Yes.
I don't know, but I definitely... So last episode was when they went to Free Cloud, right?
Yeah.
Yes. Yeah. When they were all getting spiffed up, he looks up at her like her opinions mattered very much to him, and he was just like, what do you think? You know? And so from there, I was like, oh,
how are you doing?
How you do? Yeah, I was like, oh, there's something weird. So when I saw this, I was like, oh, damn it. They're going to do something.
Yeah. Well, they did do something.
They did something.
Mammals. Let's do it like they do on the Star Trek channel.
Next we get Narek and his sister Rizzo talking, and
She isn't strangling him and jerking him off this time. That's good.
No, she's not, and she's playing with his impossible box, the Rubik's Cube, and she's just
playing with his toys.
Yeah, she can't figure it out, and basically says, because you don't know how to, you know, basically, you have to feel it when it's about to open, so you have to know.
I hate to be her lover. She's not very patient.
Yeah.
I
hate sex over there.
Yeah. So
if it's not incest, it's not good enough for her.
So, but he brings into the idea that he believes that Soji is realizing what's happening, and that dream that she's having, this reoccurring dream, is there for a reason, and that she's trying to discover something, and she's having this like cognitive distance of what she knows is happening, but she keeps suppressing it. So there's some strange things going on with her. He says giving her an unconscious mind, which is interesting. So
he does kind of shut his sister down in this moment, though, with all of his research and study. She, like, you know, she gets pretty cocky, and then he's like,
"Oh, she gets cocky, all right.
I know what the fuck is going on."
Yeah,
and then she kind of like shuts up and takes off. But
yeah, he opens the box and he shows her, you know, how it's done, and then she's like, you know, she's been fiddling with that thing for a while. So she was like that guy in the pizza shop for me who just. Solve the Rubik's Cube and like,
hey, can I see that?
He's like, whoop, 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 whoop. He's like, here you go, dumbass. So
double dumbass on you, the movie.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly.
Double dumbass on you, the reality of life.
The reality of my life. So Nair's got a plan on how to deal with Soji. So looks like Rizzo's gonna let him go forward with that. We jump back to Picard and crew, and they're going to go to the Romulan neutral zone, and they're going to be in breach of galactic treaty, so they have to figure something out on how they can get onto the Borg cube
without starting a war.
Yeah, without getting themselves in trouble and all sorts of other problems. Mm-hmm. So they get Rafi out of her room, and she's drunk. And she's supposed to call Starfleet friends, and she basically says, "Hey, we're going to go into the artifact. We need some kind of credentials." And
I love how she started out really like, "Hey, can you just do me this favor?" And then it turned into, "Okay, well. We're going to do it anyway, so if you don't want a war to start, I'm going to need those credentials."
Right, exactly. And she even made the joke because Picard needs it, and he says his face is probably still on the brochure.
Yeah.
This is probably my favorite part of the episode. This exchange was pretty good.
I loved this scene because Rafi really had to pull her shit together, and then as soon as the cam was off, she just like completely sank back into her depression and her stupor.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. So she does get the credentials that they need for Picard to go to the Borg cube. So, but she says, "Next time, don't call me."
Yeah, I'm telling you this as a friend. Don't ever contact me again.
Exactly.
That doesn't sound very friendly.
So Soji is back on the artifact. She wants to go talk to her mom, but she's not sure about that. And this is where we get into the whole thing where Narek kind of like brings to her attention that, you know, you only talk to your mom for like 70 seconds or something like that.
Every time she calls.
Yeah. So it's like some way to put her to sleep.
Mm-hmm.
So, and they're going to look into that apparently. And then we jump back to.
And he plants that seed like. Do you fall asleep often when you talk to your mother?
All the time. Boring.
She's so like, no. I don't know.
We talk for hours.
So then she go. We go back to Rafi, and Rios brings her into her room, and she just explains what happened, that her son is grown up, doesn't want to have anything to do with her, is married, and she's going to have have a granddaughter. Mm-hmm. And you know, she's obviously visibly upset, so you know, Rios puts her to bed and takes the bottle away, so I don't know, so at least Rios not just sleeping with everybody apparently, so
not yet.
No, I didn't.
But he'll probably die before he gets a chance to sleep with anybody else.
I got like a brotherly vibe from him.
No, Rios seems like a decent guy.
How long have you known me? Long enough to know to slip Rafi the roofie.
So she did that herself. So Soji back on the artifact, she calls her mom, and again she's trying to fall asleep.
She stabs her hand all the way through with a knife.
That doesn't seem to do anything. She can't fight it, and she falls asleep again. So, so she's becoming aware what's something strange happening. So. Then
she
Picard
gets a carbon dating gun and starts carbon dating everything.
Picard gets to to the Borg cube, and this is where he's going to go aboard the cube. But you can tell he's very apprehensive. He's not crazy about doing this. Elnor wants to go with him, but Picard says, "F, for no reason should you come onto this cube. So do not come."
So, right.
No, not.
So yeah, so so he's gonna beam over, and then we jump back to Sochi. She wakes up, and she starts going through her pictures and drawings, and she starts. I don't know. It's not technically carbon dating, but she's like trying to find when these things were created, and it all said like 37 months. So each
things. What's curious about this scene is that it's not explained why she thought to check how old these items are.
Mm-hmm. Right.
You know, because what's his name?
Narek.
Narek.
Mm-hmm. Narek the Grouch.
Ryan. Whatever.
Ryan.
I want to call him Ryan because it sounds like if you took the H out, it would just be Ryan.
Ryan.
I just want to call him Ryan. But anyway,
Ryan's Steakhouse. Face.
He doesn't really tell her anything that indicates that she's new to the world or that her time here is fabricated. So, like, they didn't show us how she came up with the question of how, you know, when did I get these photos? When were these photos taken? When did I write this journal entry? You know.
Well, he did.
When was I a 5-year-old?
Yeah.
I don't know if you mentioned beforehand or afterward that they could be planted memories.
He says it after.
Yeah, she
afterward. Yeah. Mm-hmm. So, well, anyways, she starts freaking out because everything is,
37 months old.
37 months old. Yeah. Picard's now aboard the Borg cube, and as he walks through alone, he's starting to get really just upset, PTSD happening with him. He's getting dizzy, he's disorientated, and at some point, he's like on the edge of this, you know, huge catwalk. Chasm. Yeah, and two Borg grab him. He starts thinking they're going to assimilate him, and that's when Hugh walks in.
Let me go! Yeah. Let me go!
And then he's just like, they're afraid you're going to fall. What's going on? So, and when Picard sees Hugh, he's very happy to see him, and they give a little hug, which is nice to see.
Very sweet.
Yeah,
nice to see. Make a little dance, make a little love. Get down the night.
So Hugh starts taking Picard through the Borg cube and everything they're doing. He sees that these they're these XBs or X-Borgs. Mm-hmm. They're all like taking out their prosthetics, and they're trying to heal them and trying to fix them. A lot of missing eyes. That's what I came about mm-hmm. with all that.
Borgs always take an eye for an eye.
So, and they're all going through, and he's... Picard feels, I think, better about what's happening here now. He feels a little happier. And,
which is like the opposite of what he had said about them being a disease that masticizes. He says, you know, what you're doing here is great. You're showing that what the Borg are and that what they are victims.
And he was saying, "That's I'm glad you feel that way because I would like to have a place for these people to stay. Instead mm-hmm. of the Borg cube, and maybe the Federation could accept them because since they're hated, no matter
maybe
what,
Jean-Luc Picard can stand up for the freedom and rights of XB.
No, because 34 Federation citizens worlds will leave if they invite the Borg in.
Yeah, right. Exactly.
That's worse than the Romulans, of course.
So this is where Picard asks, he's looking for Sochi, and Hugh obviously knows who she is. They've met before.
I visit her quarters regularly.
And he says that there's a Romulan spy that's been pretending not to ask questions about her. So Picard says, take me to her. So so we go back to Soji's quarters, and Narek's there, and this is where they have the idea, like, maybe these are all false memories. And we have to
unlock this.
Yeah, so we have to go to this special Romulan meditation, and I forgot what that was, but
I don't remember what the chamber
was
called.
Kalto, but they should have played a whole bunch of Kalto.
But it was, I suppose, only for Romulans and non-Romulans. It's not allowed. But Eric says, "Well,
it's like
we'll
sacred ground."
Yeah, but we're gonna do it anyways.
They're gonna have to burn it after she's been in it.
So
they're gonna have to rebuild it after she was there.
Well, you know, either way.
So from there, we jump over to back to the Lost Sea.
La Quinta.
Serena.
Serena, thank you.
Just think of the famous singer. Wasn't her name Serena?
Serena, yes. That was Selena.
Selena, oh. Mm-hmm.
Selena Gomez, who gets all that stuff all over Picard.
Rios and Rizzo are, not Rizzo, Rafi are, basically, she wakes up, gives her coffee, and they're basically telling him what's happening. And they're trying to figure out why...
Would want to keep her alive. Yeah,
why would they want to keep her alive? So they're trying to crack that nut. You know,
well, they just get the idea that they need to figure out why. And that was like...
That should have been
the only thing where I was like, wait, what? Okay, follow this story. And then we didn't get any more of that.
That should have been like the first thing they were talking about from a while back. So before they left for the Borg cube.
Yeah.
But anyways... so then Narek takes Soji to this special
Olympics.
The Special Olympics, yeah. takes her to the special meditation room and
Zen garden.
And he starts walking her through this pathway with these lanterns and
essentially teaching her how to walk through her dream.
Yes, exactly. Yeah. So they're trying to figure out what what's going on with her. So, and as she goes through all that and she starts seeing more and more, and as she goes through the dream, she realizes after a couple stop and starts that, when she gets past the flowers, it's her on the table, but she's all made of wood. So she's like Pinocchio.
In pieces,
and her dad isn't her dad. It's one of those thumb monsters from the first Spy Kids movie.
Funny.
Oh my god!
Yeah, the father's kind of all blurred out.
He's the thumb face.
So
I mean, it makes complete sense that they wouldn't construct an image of her father.
Yeah. So she wouldn't even know who to look for. Mm-hmm. Then Picard and Hugh get to Soji's room and finds out that it's all been torn out and she's torn apart. And so they're concerned. So Picard asks if they could. Find where she is.
She's a bit of a slob, isn't she, Hugh?
Clean your room, Soji. So, after that, she looks out the window
Hugh, when he looks for her, he realizes that she's quote unquote not on the ship, so somebody is masking her location.
They beamed her off
actually
the ship.
Room. It's the meditation room that's cloaking her presence.
Right. And so back to Soji and Narek. When she finally sees herself and she looks up, she sees, I think she says two moons.
Two blood red moons that are on a planet where she's under thunderstorms a lot.
Right.
Mm-hmm. And the sister narrows down where that is.
She doesn't. She says she needs to look for it and then she shuts down her observation.
Well, yeah, she's like using the computer to figure it out.
Yeah.
Well, and so this is where Narek was like, all right, peace out. And he opens the impossible box again. And
he's like, thanks, Bob.
And walks out and locks the door. And then
he pretends to be upset.
And when he opens it, some poison gas starts pouring out of it. So
I love how poison gas is always a very visible see-through gas. Not like carbon monoxide where it'll just kill you. You can't even see it.
Honestly, I feel like the gas itself was probably specifically for synths.
I'm sure it was something. Yeah.
Yeah. But I guess that theory doesn't make sense because he refused to let the other guard open the door because of the gas.
Dioxus.
So I don't know.
It was probably just really bad stuff. So. So she starts freaking out and she starts slamming on the floor eventually and she rips open the
she's
floor
activated.
And she starts pounding right through the floor itself. So
I don't know if she is activated. She kind of has to be in order to run
to rip through the floor.
Yeah, but like even when I guess she has to be activated because even when Dodge was activated, she didn't really know anything. She just was like, I can do things now, and I don't know why. So yeah, you're right. She's activated.
So she starts pounding through the floors and going through, and this is where Picard and Hugh find out where she is and saying that she's dropping, going through these floors way too fast. Mm-hmm. So
she's the Flash. She's discovered the Speed Force.
So they catch up with her, and there's a moment of hesitation when Picard finally meets Soji.
He's like, Soji, I met your sister. I tried to save her. I couldn't, but let me save you. It's like, wait a second. You said you couldn't save my sister? What makes you think you can save me? See ya.
Right.
It's not a very convincing. He doesn't make a very convincing argument.
No,
there was no time for him to make a very Picard-like speech.
Well, no. But the fact that he's like, yeah, I know your sister. I got her killed. But come with me. I'll keep you safe, even though I couldn't save your sister. Like, maybe you should have left that stuff out.
He doesn't say that he got her killed.
he shows her necklace.
He implies
what his point was is that I couldn't save her, but I'm here to save you. That was what his point was. And she respects Hugh, and she knows him for, you know, she thinks she knows Hugh, so there's familiarity there. So obviously, if Hugh trusts Picard, that's probably the only reason why she would even agree to go with him.
Well, nonetheless, she finally does go with him after a little hesitation, and they're on the run, and Hugh takes them to looks like the Queen's chamber room or throne room or something like that. Finally, it's a hidden room.
Quarters.
Where there's a transporter by the Sicarians. The Sicarians were in the Voyager season 1, and there's a technology that the Borg must have used when they assimilated that race. So that race didn't make it. And
oops,
that race didn't make it.
Good job, Voyager. More casualties, thanks to you.
Well, it wasn't their fault.
Could have been.
Maybe, but so they're going to take off. But then he basically calls Rios and says, you got to get out of there. We're going to find another way off this Borg cube, but you have to get out. Elnor hears all this and he beams over and he starts protecting Picard for the Romulan guards. So he starts cutting people up.
So if Elnor's able to beam over, why couldn't they just beam them out?
I don't know. Maybe it's also a great way to, you know, they're going to play the they're going to chase them down, and Picard will have, you know, plenty of time to get away.
There may have been a reason why they couldn't get a lock on their position, and Elnor would have had
beams
to
directly to their position.
He doesn't beam direct. You do not see him beam directly to that position. He could have beamed over to the position, to the coordinates that were previously given where Picard beamed in, and then he found them on his own.
That's a lot of work.
It's a lot of work.
For a place he's never been. He's never been outside a nunnery.
I'm just saying.
A nunnery.
You don't see him beam in, so you don't know. I don't know either. I'm not saying I know.
It seemed like he beamed like right next door, like right outside the Queen's chamber. That's what
if
it looked
that
like.
Were the case, we probably would have heard it. Well, or I mean, seen a light.
I mean, theoretically, they're in the exact same room. On the bridge of the La Quinta, they're in the same room with the Energizer. None of them noticed it go off either.
Hmm.
Well, are they in the same room as the Energizer? Like, is that a separate area, or can they do that from anywhere in the ship?
It is one large room.
Well, we don't know, but I mean, it seems like one big room, but we don't know. So Elnor is there, and he's protecting Picard for guards, and when Picard and Soji are going to go through the portal or a transporter thing. he wants Elnor to come with him, but he says, no, I'm going to stay behind and protect you.
From what?
I know.
From what?
And I was kind of hoping Hugh would have gone too.
But me too. They should have all gone. But then they would have gotten a hold of the transporter.
This is so poorly written It just hurts my head. Like,
but they would have gotten a hold of the transporter.
Yeah, he had to conceal it.
Hugh could have gotten away. I mean, like, why is Elnor going to protect Hugh all of a sudden? I don't know. Hugh staying makes sense. I would have loved to see Hugh go.
Picard tells Elnor that he knows that the person that is in charge is an old friend.
Mm-hmm.
And I bet you Elnor grew up or had stories of Picard's life as a Borg.
You know, I bet you Elnor is Narek's brother.
Oh, jeez, no.
Ew. Stop
that's
it.
That's the only reason they're letting him on. That's the only reason he's staying behind, because Narek will discover his long lost.
Well, he's Romulan, so maybe he gets a little more. Well, but
that's the thing. Like, Narek's the first episode. Narek said, "You know, I used to have a brother."
No.
Yes.
I really hope. I mean, if it is, I hope not. But if it is,
I hope not too. But
there better be a good explanation as to where that child, how that child became displaced from his family.
I cannot for the life of me.
Sister was trying to sleep with him.
Probably from the cradle.
Send him away
from the cradle. Yes,
poor kids.
I cannot. I mean, you know, because this, I can't for the life of me figure out why Elnor would still be on the Borg cube when there was nothing happening other than that Narek is his brother, that he mentioned he says that he's gone.
It's a possibility.
I mean, like, it's. Know, I mean,
he wouldn't
I don't,
know that his brother Narek was on the ship.
He wouldn't. No. I'm saying the writers left him there so that Narek can discover his brother again. Since Soji's gone, Narek's got to have someone to diddle around with.
Oh, Jesus.
Please tell me you don't mean sexually.
I mean, take it how you wish, but I mean, given his sister's tendencies, you can't write it off. And since Soji's gone, he needs someone to interact with other than his sister. So Elnor being the brother he lost way back when would be that void that Narek has to fill. Maybe it's not. Maybe I'm reading into it. I mean, I don't think it's a good idea. I just think it seems that I can't think of any other reason to leave Elnor behind.
Well, so Elnor stays behind, and he's fights off some guards.
Well, no, he stays behind, and they lock up the room, and then it's over.
No, we hear him say, "Please, my friends, choose to live."
Choose to live, which I love that.
Yeah, which they won't choose to live. So and Picard takes off, and through the previews we get the this is where he runs into,
because they're being transported to a particular planet and the ship's going to meet them there.
La Quinta, pick us up.
Yes, and there from the previews we could see that this is where he runs into Riker and Troi. So
and the thing is, like, we thought this was going to be just a cameo, and the thing is, it'll probably be most of the episode given the way the show's gone. They just kind of do one thing for a long time. So, mm-hmm. I mean, I guess it's as much a cameo as Seven of Nine was. I mean, she gets up basically an episode, and then she's gone. So, I mean, Riker and Troi, give them an episode, then they'll be gone. I mean.
Well, yeah. And then also, we're going to also see the La Serena are going to try to escape and probably be chased by the Romulans. So
maybe.
So we're going to see that. So so that wraps up this episode of The Impossible Box. Who wants to go first?
Holly, go first.
Okay. So there was something interesting about naming this episode The Impossible Box. Mm-hmm. I really did only watch this once, so I wasn't able to go back and really get it down solidly. But I just thought it was interesting that there was, you know, the Rubik's Cube type puzzle that he had as a child, and that Soji's mind was kind of like an impossible box, and right. The Borg cube itself is an impossible box. So there were a couple of things that I was hoping to connect, but again, I really only watched it once, so I couldn't really do that. But starting from, like, walking back through the episode, I have a couple of things that I wanted to mention, but I just didn't want to interrupt. When Picard and Agnes and Elnor were all talking about the Borg and what exactly was the artifact.
Right.
You know, Elnor's observations, I really love, and I talked about this before, I love that he picks up on the lies. Because it's because it's because lies are so foreign to him. He just knows when everything is a lie. So when Agnes is talking and Picard leaves and he mentions that he was in-butting on her right. personal feelings, that was another, like, his ability to really draw on the lies is mm-hmm. super important. And I know, Dave, you're wondering why the fuck is he left on the artifact. Maybe it's because he is the perfect person to sniff out these lies, to figure out the truth. Maybe. Who knows?
It'd be cool if he has, like, some kind of superpower that he can tell when people are lying.
He probably can, just because of the way he was raised.
My superpower is I can tell when people are lying after they told me they're lying.
What else did I want to talk about?
Well, I know you were talking about Picard and showing his vulnerability.
Yes, I really did love that. And it's something that we talked about when we were discussing not Star Trek. I think it was, what were we talking about that was really PTSD related? It was probably Ender's Game, honestly. We were probably talking about PTSD for Ender's Game.
Ender's Game, yeah, there was some PTSD there. And, mm-hmm. Well, obviously, we did talk about Picard, all the shit that he went through his whole career. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. The Inner Light, that's some PTSD.
Lots of stuff happening. Stuff happening on Picard's side, yeah.
Yeah, but, like, even when it wasn't Star Trek that we were talking about, we've had some pretty deep conversations about PTSD and how media and entertainment today is really trying to connect with audiences, and how PTSD is a real issue that continues to surface and to be portrayed on screen. And it was just, even though it's something that we see every day in all forms of entertainment that we have, like Arrow, you know, super mm-hmm. about PTSD, for Picard's character, it was just really refreshing to not see his struggle with PTSD, because PTSD sucks, but to see another facet, I guess, of the mm-hmm. character, because, yeah, on, you know, normally, well, we didn't see him that open.
He didn't want to go on the cube, like but he was going because he felt, you know, Soji had to be helped. So yeah. That's the reason he's going into it. But he, you could tell the whole time he was like, I don't want to be doing this.
Yeah.
So and even when he went there, he was pretty much freaking out.
There's no place like Chateau Picard. There's no place like Chateau Picard. There's no place like Chateau Picard.
Well, speaking of him getting to the Borg ship. Why the fuck would you give someone coordinates and not have
place to meet them?
A welcome party?
I know. I thought that was weird, too.
I thought that was... I mean, I think they probably did it to make the point of he's really struggling with this, and this is how PTSD works. You see things that aren't there, and you hear things that aren't there, but it just didn't work for the story.
But Holly, an ex-Borg is never late. He's never early. He arrives precisely when he means to. Right before you jump off the cliff.
Perhaps, yeah.
Gandalf.
what else? I mean, there were a couple of little things, and maybe when you guys are talking, I'll think of them. But one thing that I do want to mention is this whole relationship with Soji and Grayan, or Narek. Whatever, Narek. You know, he does tell her, supposedly, he tells her his name.
He just makes it up.
Probably lying.
He could have made it up. Mm-hmm. He looks like Orion. I mean, he's scruffy. He looks untrustworthy. I'm just kidding. All the Ryans out there who listen. Hey, I've known a Ryan or two that I wasn't a big fan of, but I'm totally not.
Holly's discriminated against all Ryans. Don't worry.
All Ryans. No, I'm not.
You need the steakhouse, too, I bet.
There's no such thing as Ryan's Steakhouse.
In the South, there was. It was a buffet. It was great.
Oh, well, good for Ryan and his steakhouse.
Probably get food poisoning there, I bet.
Oh, man, they had this great honey butter spread for the rolls. Oh, it was amazing.
I just thought it was kind of funny that he had such a simple name that they just kind of put, like, a on the front.
Yeah, yeah.
Ryan. But anyway,
Achoo, bless you.
You know, after he after he gets Soji to divulge where she was from, her quote-unquote home.
Yeah.
She looks to him for guidance, and he's just like, you're not real.
Yeah.
Peace out, bitch. And he says goodbye to her, and she just doesn't understand. And I think that is a pretty good portrayal of, you know, we were talking about this a couple episodes back, of toxic relationships and mm-hmm. being in relationships with people who are just there to get what they want, because they draw you in and they push you away, and they pull you back in and they push you away. And then when they get what they want from you, they toss you aside. And he could love her. He really could genuinely be named Ryan and love her, but have to do this. He may just feel that he has to do it. It's possible, but it's still a very toxic relationship, and it's so good that it's over. And I hope that it stays over.
Yeah,
but
they're going to start phone calling each other, and they'd be like, hey, I'm sorry, I tried to murder you.
I just think it's going to be bad for her. I think she's going to be so fucked up from this relationship that she had with this person.
It's going to make her the destroyer.
It's possible. Not because she wants
to kill everybody.
I had one bad relationship in my 3-year life. I'm going to fuck up everyone in the galaxy just cause. It's
usually actually how it goes.
I don't think that's how it's going to be, but it's definitely going to affect her ability to form relationships and to form any kind of trust and bonds. So her future relationship with Picard is definitely not going to be what we saw with Dodge.
Well, it's a good thing that she's going to hang out with Counselor Troy next episode. So
she can talk about her feelings.
Well, is Troy going to be there?
Yes.
Because y'all were talking about how the time works out, and how when Beta Zeds become mature, they want to have a lot of sex, and a lot of times they look for a second husband at this time. So
if Riker's her first husband,
she might not be there. Yeah, I did a lot of reading on Beta Zeds because
the jokes.
We were talking about, like,
Loxana was looking for a second husband because her first husband was dead.
No, I was researching the species in the world, obviously, because it's not a real species. But it says that, you know, when they reach their maturity, they do get like hypersexual, but they also tend to leave their first husbands and they go find a second husband. So is she even going to be on the show?
Yeah, get that young buck in.
Well, no. Like,
yeah. Is she going to be on the show?
Yes, she's going to be on the show. Marina Sirtis.
Because I haven't seen any images of her at all.
She's in one of the trailers. She hugs Picard. Okay. She's taking off like lawn gardening gloves. The thing is, Riker waited to marry her till she was right at that point so she wouldn't leave him for another guy. He was stringing her along for over a decade so that he would get her at the point.
The relationship does not change the fact that at that time you go seeking a new dick.
Riker just, I mean, he can replicate himself another deck, you know? He can do whatever he needs to keep that.
Well, before we move away from me, I just want to say I love Elnor, and I hate that he went over to the ship, and I hate that he's been left behind, but I absolutely love him.
There's obviously going to be a story there that they're going to have to tell, so
yeah. There you go, Aaron. You can draw me as one of the monk ladies.
Draw you as one of his French girls. So right now,
I'll be one of them.
The monks.
French nuns. Romulan.
No. Me like one of your Romulan ladies.
Romulan monks. I'll go next. I enjoyed this episode for a lot of reasons that they hit all the points out. Like, Narek finally double crossed Soji. That they finally crossed that bridge. Like, Jesus, took us long enough. Yeah. I liked the Picard, you know, fearful of coming out on the Borg cube and then realizing maybe things are getting better here, you know, because of what Hugh is doing. Yeah. The Soji thing, I mean, we knew this was all going to happen, and we kind of figured that every time she calls mom, it's some kind of way to, you know, shut her down. It's like,
keep her from the truth.
Yeah. And, we knew all these things that were happening. But my only problem is that like I said before, they just could have got there a lot sooner. That's my real issue about it's the series, not this episode per se. I think this episode did everything it was supposed to do. I wish it would have done it like a couple episodes back or something of that nature.
Yeah.
I don't know. You know, it's like there's some interesting parts here. Like, you know, I wonder where Raffi's story is going to go. You know, it's kind of hard to unwind that story now. We only have 4 more episodes. So,
yeah.
That's going to be hard to unpack there.
I'm starting to think season 1 is going to be completely set up, and then season 2 stuff's actually going to start happening. Because it's starting to seem that way. There's not a whole lot of progress being made. And if they're just going to hang out with Troy and Riker all next episode, that's not really going to advance anything forward. That's just kind of like a regrouping episode. You know what I mean?
Well, it'll be Rios trying to escape with crew. And maybe Elnor, or maybe Elnor being, you know, interrogated by the Tal Shiar. So
yeah, I mean, it'll probably jump around between 3 different set pieces, but I mean, like, I just don't see a lot of forward momentum happening until they've got the ship back and the crew and everything. So I mean, I assume that's not going to happen to the end of that episode. So I mean, we've really only got 3 episodes for the real resolution to come to a head, because next episode's looks like it's going to be just a breather episode.
Well, and you know they're going to leave it on a cliffhanger for sure.
Oh yeah, for sure.
To get to season 2, so I mean we won't.
Soji's going to run away.
Not again, Soji.
I don't think she's going. I don't think she's going to trust him. I think she's going to run away.
She's going to run away. Call her mom, and her mom's going to be like, "You should go back to Picard." Oh wait, that happened.
She calls her mom. She's going to pass out.
Yeah, I know. It's like a
mom doesn't have much to say until she becomes activated.
Yeah. Well, maybe because she's activated, she's done.
Mother. So, I don't know. I enjoyed the episode. I thought it was well done. I just think they could have gotten here a lot quicker. Nothing really bothered me, per se. It was well written. I don't think anything really stood out really strongly. I think last episode there was more excitement and there was more interest there. So, I don't know. How about you, Dave?
I, for me, the episode's writing fell apart at the end. Like, it just didn't make a lot of sense. The writing up until then was fine. I just feel like, still, I just got that feeling of, like, you know, not enough butter spread over too much bread. Like, why is everything taking so long to get to
a lot of Lord of the Rings references from you today?
I know, right? The one movie to rule them all. No, I don't know. It just, I mean, so we're at episode, what, 6 now?
Six.
So this is 3 feature-length movies, and we've gotten less plot than one Lord of the Rings film, if we're going to stick with Lord of the Rings references.
Or it could have been one Hobbit movie.
Or one Hobbit movie, yeah. Oh, the Hobbit movie's plots did not move along very quick either, so
no,
I wouldn't want to, like,
it's very
drawn out. No, this is like the Hobbit movies. It's very drawn out, and they're not, like, getting to the point. And, I don't know. I mean, I'm not saying I want the show to be over. I mean, that's not it at all. I just want them to start answering some of these questions, and I feel like maybe it's less interesting. Because the thing is, like, and on this episode, Soji and Picard and everyone's figuring out what the audience has known from the beginning. Like, we don't all the
mystery. It's like Ash Tyler with you know, Discovery. We knew all this was what was happening.
Yeah,
like it was no surprise.
Yeah, it's like they either photograph stuff way before it happens, so it's like just obvious it's going to happen. You're just waiting for the hammer to fall. Or it's just, I don't know, like, I mean, if I kind of wish they didn't do the Dodge thing at all. Like, it would have been kind of nice, just like something, there's a distress call and Picard's got to get a team together to do something, and then, like, the audience discovers she's an android, like, later on in the series or something. I don't know.
That would have been cool. Yeah,
They could have reworked the story to be so much better. The thing is, like, we're 6 episodes in, and the cast and the people in the show are finally learning stuff that we knew the first episode. So, like, their discovery of what's happening isn't that interesting, because we've known for forever. If we were in the dark with them, that would be a shock to us as they're discovering it. But they're discovering it, and it's like, yeah, we knew that. That's not interesting, because we knew that already. And all the stuff that we want to know, they're not talking about. You know what I mean? Like, it's they just keep stringing us along with the same stuff every episode. That, you know, the Soji's a robot. We got to find her before she activates. They're going to try and kill her. I mean, we've known all this stuff, and they finally get there, and I don't know. It's just, they could have written the story in a way that was more like a mystery, and that would have been more exciting and, like, wanted you to come back for more. And they haven't gotten, I don't know, like, I feel like it could have been just constructed a little bit better. Like Aaron said, like, I wish they would have gotten here 3 episodes sooner or 2 episodes sooner. Like, I agree with that completely. Like, the pacing on the show has been not great. But that being said, like, seeing Hugh was great. Seeing Hugh interact with Picard was really great. That could have gone south, because I recently watched The Descent Part 1 and 2, and Hugh seemed a little bit pissed that they sent him back to the Borg, knowing that his individuality would mess them up. Because he was kind of holding a grudge a little bit during The Descent, but I guess he got over it. But really,
yeah, he definitely got over it.
I mean, that could have gone either way. I mean, he could have, like, you know, accepted and relish the fact that he was kind of in charge of these ex-Borgs, or he could have just stewed and got angry. So, I mean, the interaction could have gone either way. So, I mean, it's fine that it went this way. I don't have any complaint about that. And it was really nice seeing them have a nice, genuine interaction, seeing, like, some friendship and kinship from, like, an old, you know, and we'll get more of that next episode as he sees Troy and Riker again, which was, you know, kind of a nice feeling.
Sure.
The Borg ship was really cool, like, all the, like, the weird moving parts. It's kind of cool seeing, like, an updated Borg cube for, like, 2020. It looks awesome.
Yeah, not weird, like, hoses and things thrown together like we would see in TNG.
Always.
Yeah. I mean, the production value is really nice on some of this stuff. It's beautiful. I love the Borg ship. I hope we get to see more of it. I was kind of sad things didn't go haywire and we have some assimilation. I mean, I guess that could still happen. But man, that sign, that Chekhov's gun, there's been, you know, 5,000 something days since assimilation. I want to see bad stuff happen. And it's I want to see bad stuff happen. Yeah, I want to see the Borg come back. I want to see Picard get assimilated. I want to know what that Romulan prophecy is. Like, if they would have started off the show with what the Romulan prophecy was, and then, like, kept it a secret who the robot was, that would have been really cool. But we don't know what the Romulan prophecy is, other than there's a girl that's going to destroy everything. How? Why? Like, what is the full prophecy? It's, like, the same issue with, like,
bring down the Romulan fucking way of life.
Maybe something else.
It's really vague. It's, like, I hate when they do prophecies, and, like, in movies and TV shows, but they don't really tell you what the prophecy is. Like, in the Star Wars prequels, like, the prophecy, the one who brings balance to the Force. Okay, what does the prophecy say? Don't sum it up. Just tell me what the actual prophecy says, because it seems like everyone's summing up what the prophecy was, like, to their own interpretation and not, like, reading what it was for the audience to interpret. It was like, it was coming to the audience pre-interpreted. Just like this prophecy, the Destroyer prophecy, it's like, oh, it's just the Destroyer of everything, but Give me more. What is this prophecy? I want to know what the prophecy. I want to, like, hear it in its entirety, not just the cliff notes. You know what I mean?
Well, you know, I don't know. I guess they could get into a little more nitty gritty, but
I don't know. I just want more things to ponder, and they're not giving me a lot. I mean, I want to know what the prophecy is, like, what they mean. Everyone's raving that she's the Destroyer, but we don't know what that means. Like, is she going to become a super Borg? Are they just that scared of robots that the robots are going to destroy everything? Like, give us a minute. Yeah. We've been going for 6 episodes, and we're no closer to understanding what this Destroyer prophecy is. I don't know.
I agree with that. But I do have something to say about, like, time and how the story is progressing. Mm-hmm. So I know that you have an issue with how we were introduced to Daj. You really got interested in the character, and then she was killed, right?
Yes, it's annoying.
It was frustrating.
Right. So, if they were to really speed this along and skip over certain things and not allow you to form connections and form opinions about the characters that you're seeing, you're not going to have empathy when that character dies. So, while I understand your frustration, because it is taking a long time, and you're looking at it as, like, these are 3 films, but you need time to grow attached to certain characters in order for the impact to be what the directors and the writers are wanting. And I, you know, you get frustrated for both things. It sucks that you were like, oh, I was really interested in that character. Why did you kill her off in the first episode? What the fuck? But then at the same time, you're also like, okay, this is taking too long. Hurry up and tell us what the fucking thing is. And so it's kind of like, I don't know. I wouldn't say frustrating, but it's like...
Holly, I 100% agree with you, because this is my exact argument whenever they just decided to kill Erin in an episode, but then they spent the entire episode trying to give her a backstory so you cared about her, too little, Erin? Too late.
Who?
This is... I said I agree with you. Because I'm telling you, I made this argument... This is the exact same argument to you back on when they killed Arian in Discovery.
Arian. Oh, I thought you said Erin, and I'm like, who the fuck are you talking about? No,
didn't kill me yet. Yeah.
No.
Yeah, when they killed Arian. You had time to like the character and to grow and
not that. Really, because they didn't do any character development on her until that one episode.
And, they didn't do character development, but she was a background character. She was always there, and you kind of had – she was there. But also, at the same time, you can't have it both ways. You either have everything happen super fast, and you get to grow – you know, you get to form no attachments, or you let the story progress in a slower pace to give you the ability to – form opinions about these characters. Do you care about this character? Maybe not. She's kind of a slut. Okay, but you care about this character. He's pretty cool. He's
kind of a slut.
Why is he sleeping with a slutty doctor? Like, she might be a killer. She might be crazy.
Love Rios. I mean, you can play it out slow, but still give more intrigue than what they're giving. And the thing is, yeah, they killed Dodge in the first episode, but Dodge is still far more interesting than Soji. Because the only thing Soji's been doing is sleeping with the Romulan, and the scenes were just getting repetitive. That's why I was so happy last week they never cut to the Borg cube. They just let it be, and they let it be its own story last week, which was great.
I totally won't argue with the fact that Soji is not as interesting as Dodge, but I can't say that because I've only seen Dodge in one episode, and I've seen Soji in at least four. But
I can, because Soji's story has been so boring and drawn out. Like, they should have just, like, shown her at the beginning and then just, like, cut to her the one time with Rom to the Romulan Hugh, and then let it be kind of be a mystery until this episode.
I don't know. It just feels like, you know, the story is written so that we form opinions and feelings, and we can be empathetic when a character dies. So, like, I'm totally attached to, you know, Elnor, and I don't want him tortured and killed or anything. But this is where we are, and I just don't know.
Other than Picard, the only character I really like is Rios. I love him, but I'm pretty sure he's gonna die because the Black Widow's sleeping with him. So he's next on the docket to die.
Maybe
Elnor's fun because he's like clueless and he's got the fish out of water, so he's kind of fun.
I don't think he's clueless. He's socially inept to the crew he's with, but I don't think he's clueless. He is very astute.
Yeah.
Yeah, not clueless. He just doesn't have the same
social acumen skills that he
did.
as everyone else, which makes him fun to watch. I enjoy seeing Elnor, but no one else I really really care about. Like I was totally with Erin when Erin was like first thing. He's like, I hate Narek. I'm just like, I'm 100% with you. He's got the Ash Tyler like spider like anthill like facial hair. It's just like it's like go away, shave that, or just grow a real beard.
But we all knew that what was going to happen with Narek. It was just so obvious.
So. Yeah.
No, it wasn't obvious to me because he could have betrayed his sister and his cause, or he would have gone with it. That was a 50-50.
It was 0-50-50.
Yes, it was 50-50.
I could have seen it going that way, but I was like, they need to keep the bad guy. And you know he's going to come back. He's going to try to sweet talk her, and then like she'll like snap his neck or something like that. So,
do you want to hear what the
plot
weird
line? If your reason for thinking that way is just to carry the plot, then I disagree, because I think they wrote it because you really weren't sure if he was really in love with her and really wanted to maybe protect her from his sister or if he was truly going for the cause.
I don't think he was ever really in love with her. It was a play from the get-go. Because his lines are so corny. He's like, oh, I think I'm falling in love with you. She's like saying something and he just says that for like... It doesn't have anything to do with what she just said.
I mean, that's true. I still say that he was like a complete manipulative piece of shit. So, I mean, maybe. But the way they wrote it, you were unsure.
I wasn't.
No matter your feelings.
I don't know. I totally saw it. I mean, it was telegraphed, you know, from the first episode. He's a shady Romulan guy talking to her. Bad things were going to happen because he's a shady Romulan guy. The weird theory / supposed leak for his character online is that he's a sleeper Borg agent.
What?
Who knows? I don't know. Like, I've read some stuff, and it's just like, yeah, it doesn't make any sense. But that's the... I mean, I don't necessarily believe it.
He does have that earpiece.
He does. His sister has the earpiece, too, though.
Who does his sister?
Is it the tiny version of what Uhura used to have in TOS?
I guess. I don't know.
The smaller Bluetooth version? I don't know. I mean, like, that seems like a really weird thing. It doesn't make any sense. But these are from alleged leaks, which are dubious at best, because a lot of the leaks have proven to be false, sort of, so...
Yeah, people say crazy shit.
People say crazy shit all the time. So who knows what's in store for his character? But I don't know.
He did look genuinely upset when he locked her in there.
But not upset enough to let her out.
Exactly. Like you said, his sister is abusive sexually and mentally.
Hey, those android kegels.
He needed to. I don't know. Yeah, I know you guys didn't like Ash Tyler and. He is kind of similar, like love-hate relation, like not love to hate, but you love, not love hate, but you love to hate him. So I get it, but at the same time, like you said, he could have this messed up family that made him the way he is, and maybe he doesn't want to be a part of that family, and maybe he's genuinely upset that he's fighting for this cause. Hey, you don't know.
He's just upset he's not going to get any of those hot robot Kegels anymore.
Kegels. Right. I don't know. There's a lot of things that... we're going to see, obviously, where all these characters go, but I do feel that there's going to be a moment where he's going to come back and he's going to say, oh, I'm sorry what I did. I shouldn't have done that, blah, blah, blah. You know, please forgive me. And then he'll try to double-cross her again. Whether Soji sees through it or not, that's a different story.
I just want to know what one little android's going to do. How does she become destroyer of everything?
Like, the little android that could.
The one little android that could. Is she going to, like, just choo-choo up that hill?
So one of the things that was mentioned in a couple episodes back was about how they thought maybe she was going to become the Borg Queen. And something that was mentioned in this episode from Hugh is that their new Borg Queen was a Romulan. So, I mean, that's twice that Borg Queen has been brought up. So maybe she does have some kind of Borg tech in her that she could maybe be leader of the Borgs. And if she is leader of the Borgs, then the Destroyer could simply be destroying the Romulan plan to keep all synths out of existence.
I don't know. Destroyer
doesn't have to mean destroyer of worlds. It could just be destroyer of
cultures, destroyers of their lives, society. Their bullshit.
Yeah.
The way the Romulans...
She could bring down all that bullshit. You don't know. She could be viewed as a savior to others, but as the destroyer to the Romulans. We don't know.
Well, I mean, it seems like their supernova kind of wiped them out pretty good or hurt them pretty bad, but
not enough.
They're making it seem like she's like this. No, it is destroyer of worlds because the Romulan Rom to the Romulans. She said it's basically Romulan Ragnarok. That's Ragnarok.
Ragnarok.
Yeah, that's the end times. That is destroyer of worlds. It's cataclysmic. End of the world type thing that Soji is supposed to bring forth. I just want to know how is she and then is Picard going to stop it or is it going to actually happen and then they have to turn and stop her?
You know, it's going to take time to figure that out. It's not going to happen next week.
Nope, it's definitely not going to happen this week, and I don't even know if it's going to happen this season. We're probably I'm starting to come with terms that this entire first season is going to be entirely set up, and that maybe the plot will start rolling next season.
That makes sense. I mean, didn't they have two seasons greenlit before anything was even airing or filming?
Definitely two seasons was.
Yeah. So I'm sure that they planned it to span two seasons.
Yeah.
Initially, but I mean,
like,
anyway.
But the thing is, usually if you're going to do it in two seasons or three seasons, if they only do it in two seasons, we should be at the Act 2 point at this point. Act 2 is when things are supposed to start picking up.
They are just doing things differently this time. Seriously, especially since, you know, you have made the comment before that it takes three seasons for Star Trek to get good.
But it shouldn't, Holly.
Right. I'm just saying they're doing something completely different that you've not experienced yet before. So maybe it's not going to take three seasons. Maybe they're trying a new formula to try and get you hooked. Maybe by the finale of season one to bring season two in and go off with a bang. You don't know. I don't know either.
I mean, I hope so. I hope it's going to be good. I hope it's going to be a good cliffhanger, but it's just, it's been so middle of the road. Don't hate it. Don't love it. It's going to have to be like some cliffhanger for me to be like so stoked for next season. I mean, I'm going to watch
you
it anyway.
Might not because be stoked.
That's the thing. I mean, I'm just like, you know, we're going to talk about it because we're doing a Star Trek podcast, and I'll be excited to see it. But I mean, there's levels of excitement. I would love to be stoked and out of my mind because I love Star Trek and I want it to be good. And it's just been such a slow burn. I'm waiting for the part where it really starts to get good, and I can't wait for the next week's episode.
I'm so sad that you just. Are you enjoying this at all?
No, it's
like
it's,
the story at all. Like, are you? I don't mean to say that. Offensively, I don't mean to be offensive. Are you enjoying it?
I'm waiting for it to start.
Well, so you don't started. Enjoy this,
yeah? You don't feel right like now. It's...
I don't know. I mean, I don't hate it. I just I'm not in love with it yet.
Because I'm enjoying it. I'm into it.
There's parts so I like. Just, there's curious. Parts I like.
There's definitely good parts.
I think it's I really want to see where this goes in the next couple episodes and where. You know, like, if there's any big revelations that come out of this, you know, that's my biggest thing. Like, where is this all going by the end? You know, by the end of this season, is there going to be something really cool that's different that we didn't expect? Or is it going to just be, you know, more, you know, like, you get to this and, you know, this part of the story, and now we jump to another part of the story that doesn't go any further than it did, so... I don't know. That's where I'm kind of like wanting to see. I want to see if there's something big because I could see some really cool stuff happening out of all this. But
yeah, I mean, right now I'm just kind of indifferent to it. Like, I'm with you, Aaron. I'm waiting for what's going to happen. What's going to happen? And it just feels like they're just drawing it out. And I don't know. I'm starting to just get into the mindset that nothing's going to happen this season, and it's just all introductory. And the next season it'll be like the act two of a three act play or whatever, and we'll finally get some momentum happening because it's still pretty slow. I mean, like, they're just building. They're just kind of putting the pieces together very slowly.
I don't know. It just kind of sounds like you're more focused on the end and what the answers are, and you're not enjoying what's happening at the moment.
It's 6 hours, and the reason I'm not enjoying it as much as you are, I guess, is just because it's been 6 hours, and this is a story they could have easily told without missing much important. They could have done it in half the time, easy. What Aaron was saying earlier, what I've been saying since the beginning, I just feel like
still agree with that. I still agree they could have cut things and done things.
But the thing is, like, they could have told the story without like losing anything. Like, it just feels like they're stretching this out over a long time. And I'm not saying the story's bad. It's just like it's just they're stretching it out so much. It's just like okay, what, I don't know. I don't know if they figured out Star Trek in long form television format. They might need to just go back to episode by episode. I don't know.
Oh, speaking of episode by episode, I was thinking when I was watching this that. You know, you had mentioned, again, it goes kind of back to Dodge and how she's introduced and then she's killed off. And I feel like that is kind of traditional Star Trek episodes. I feel like a lot of times you meet a crew member on board and you find out about their past, and then something crazy happens, and then you never see from that crew member again, or that happens a lot.
But it was never a long form story before. They'd mentioned things here and there, but this is a long form story. We knew it was going to be, they told us it was going to be like a long movie, and that's fine. But it's just so weird to like bring a character up and kill them immediately, especially with the slow burn as the first couple episodes were anyway. They could have killed her off the second episode.
Well, they're identical twins, so yeah. They're kind of like getting.
I think it's going to be important. I think it all comes back to the fact that they're made in pairs. I think that was important to them. They didn't want to have two people acting the same character on the entirety of the show. Why? I don't know. It just didn't fit with the story. Maybe they had versions where it was she lived, and who knows. But if Picard met Dodge and Dodge was awake and Dodge figured everything out from the get-go, we wouldn't have a story. Where would we be?
I mean, I guess. It's hard to tell.
And, you know, there could be the possibility that Dodge is still alive somehow.
Yeah.
And it was beamed out of there or something. We just don't know.
Oh, yeah. That would be a great twist where Soji is not the Destroyer of Worlds. Dodge is.
Right.
And, like Soji's going to get killed. I mean, like.
Yeah.
That could be fun.
Because, like, when she's blown up, I mean, it definitely looks like she's blown up, but who knows? I mean, they incinerate the Asians as well as the target, it's possible they've got some weird tech that looked like she was killed, but she was really transported somewhere else.
But the thing is, also, we saw how fast the acid killed the Run Romulan who swallowed it, like, in Picard's chateau. The guy got blown up the first time we saw them use the spitting acid stuff, but that second guy, he just disintegrated so quick. So, I mean, like, even if the explosion didn't get Soji, the acid would have probably gotten her, probably.
Unless it was some kind of bot that just, it didn't actually incinerate her, but it transported her molecule by molecule. Do you know what I mean?
I mean,
I'm not saying that's what I think happened. When I saw it, that thought occurred to me. She could definitely be dead. I don't know.
That could be a fun twist where Soji is the one who dies and Dodge becomes the Destroyer. I don't know. It's just the thing is, like, they killed Bruce Maddox so quick. My original theories was that Bruce Maddox was somehow working with the Romulans and they get him some Borg tech and that's how they like put everything together. But seems like the Romulans did not help Bruce Maddox at all. The Romulans are just, I'm all about messing them over.
But so, he could have gotten Borg tech by ex-Borg, because Hugh has been taking Borg from the collective for years
maybe he got the Borg tech from, maybe.
He could have. Well, yeah, I mean, yeah. He clearly had a deal with her.
So, I mean, that still could play into it.
I think you're right. He definitely got some tech from her.
He got some tech from Bejesus.
Jesus.
Jesus.
Holy grail of Borg tech.
I don't know, maybe. I mean, it's interesting. I mean, we'll have to see where it goes. I mean, I haven't written the show off. I'm going to watch it. I'm going to watch season two. And I really hope there's some momentum happens. I want to see where this is going. I want to see what the payoff's going to be. I hope the payoff's going to be awesome. Then I'll be like, oh, that was a good ride. But it's kind of hard to know till you get to the end, you know?
Yeah.
Right now, I'm just kind of apprehensive.
Yeah. I just want you to watch this with the same way I watch it and get so excited with all these little things that you find out, because you do discover very little things here and there. You know, in this episode, what is it? Rosio? Who's the captain?
Oh, Rios.
Rios.
I always say his name wrong. You know, when Rafi is in her drunken stupor and she tells him about her son and how she'll never see her grandchild, and he's like,
yeah, that was a nice character moment.
We don't do it. Well, one of the things he says is like, we don't get it right all the time.
Yeah.
And it's just like, these little things, these little moments, I feel are going to be important, but I also watch a lot of Doctor Who, and you'll watch something in season 2, episode 4, and then it'll come to fruition in season 4, episode 8. And it's like, oh, I remember that. I remember that.
Yeah, there's definitely a lot of that in Doctor Who.
There is. So, like, I don't know. Maybe because I'm used to that kind of writing, I'm just accepting everything they're giving me and kind of maybe not remembering it all, but storing it away. And I'm able to, I don't know, I guess just appreciate the art that is film. I don't know.
It's just, it's also just concerning me that, I mean, Michael Chabon hasn't proven to be this amazing writer, so I guess I'm not too sad that he's not showrunning season two, but at the same point, is it going to feel like Discovery, where, like, the different showrunners in the next season is going to totally make it feel so different? It's weird. I don't know.
Different style episodes.
Yeah.
Yeah, I don't know.
Hmm. We'll find out.
Well, hopefully Patrick Stewart's directing it. It seems like, from what Guy was saying, that Patrick Stewart's kind of calling a lot of the shots, even though other people are named showrunners. So who knows?
Yeah.
Are you like liking the show? Or are you kind of like in the middle ground with me, Aaron? Were you just kind of like take it or leave it?
I think there's some shining points, and I think sometimes it feels like a long confession. That's the parts where I get kind of aggravated. So. I think that's an issue with a lot of
long form TV nowadays.
Like I was saying, a lot of TV shows, they don't know how to condense what they're trying to say, and bring it, you know, just make it snappier. But you know, whatever. I don't hate anything. It's just there's nothing that totally bothers me. I mean, it's not even on par with some of the issues I had with, like, Discovery.
Yeah.
But I mean, just there's things I just wish it would go a little quicker. That's all. Yeah. It's interesting. Here's my thing. If the show goes where I think it's going to go, I think we're going to see some kind of new amalgamation of the Borg with either synths or with the Romulans, some kind of like combining them together somehow. I'm not quite sure. I'm unclear, but it seems like they could totally change the landscape of the Star Trek universe with some of the ideas they're toying with here. I don't know yet, because they haven't got, it's mostly just been about Soji and Picard finding her and, you know, getting the band together. So there's some interesting things that are at play here if that's where it's going, but I just don't know yet.
Yeah, I'm with you. I'm waiting to find out what's going on. I don't know. Yeah. I'm glad you're enjoying it, Holly. And I asked on our Facebook group if other people were enjoying it, and then it seemed like the vast majority of people who did respond to that post seemed like they were really enjoying the show, and I'm glad they are. I just,
you know, I saw your post, but yeah, after the day you posted it, I haven't seen any notifications on that post since, and I don't know why.
I think people stopped posting on it after the first day I posted it, so I don't know. I mean,
I got buried.
Yeah, I could have gotten married by other things that get posted, but yeah, I'm glad most people are enjoying it. I hope you don't dislike the show, since we're not super excited. I mean, Holly's been really excited about it, so I thank you, Holly, that you bring a different perspective than Aaron and I do sometimes, which is really great. You help balance us out.
Yeah, when we talk, I'm like, ooh, music, ooh, costumes, ooh, did you hear what he said?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, yeah.
They're not big things. They're really not.
No, but I mean, you're way more upbeat about the show than Aaron and I are. Where it seems like we're both sort of like middling, like waiting for the trap to spring, and it's just like,
you guys are like all about plot and less about the show, like the actual viewing experience.
There's sometimes I really get into like the last episode.
The last episode was great.
I really enjoyed parts of it, and this one I just felt like they hit all the things that they had to hit. But I kind of was like, I didn't know what to expect, honestly, with the Borg cube. But I thought there was going to be more interesting, weird stuff happening on the Borg cube. But it was just basically get in, get out kind of thing. So
I loved the way the walls shifted.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. There was really cool stuff. There's some cool stuff about it, no doubt about it. I guess my point was, I was kind of hoping that, like, maybe there are still, like, active Borgs somewhere. That
they led on to that. They kind of said that there might be.
Yeah, exactly.
Inactive so, work around the ship, and that's why you weren't allowed to go to certain areas, and that if your thing turned green, like,
yeah, get out.
Fuck off.
Yeah, get out of there.
I mean, yeah. I mean, Aaron, you were expecting the climax in this episode or something like a climax in this episode, like I was. And then it didn't like really raise tensions. It just kind of like kept going where it was going. And this like kind of even keel.
Well, there was a climax of that damn relationship.
Yeah, that's for sure. That finally played itself.
It's
that
over.
That came to a head.
I'm going it's to over. Kill you. Yes.
Well, over for now.
It's over for now.
Yeah. Sadly, stupid girls are going to go back to stupid boys.
Stupid girl.
Stupid. And I don't mean to offend. I don't mean to offend females out there. We've all been with a stupid boy, and we've all forgiven and gone back to that same stupid boy. So I'm not saying I'm infallible. Just saying, stupid girls do stupid things. Stupid boys do stupid things.
Oh yeah, that's right. I've known a lot of stupid boys. So. Well, let's wrap it up from here, guys. I mean, there's definitely room for the show to move into some interesting territory. I think Holly's right. There are some interesting characters and interesting places where everyone's going, but I still feel like it could move a little faster. Yeah. That's my feeling.
Agreed.
And I do agree with that. I'm not. I definitely don't want to squash your opinion on that, because I do feel like there are some things that could be done a little shorter. And you know, the awkward scene with Agnes and Rios,
that was drawn out.
It took about 2 minutes.
Yeah,
and really all that was said was, "I see that you're upset about losing what's his name. Yeah. Want to fuck?"
Yeah. Yeah, basically.
Like, oops. Like, that would have been exactly the same. I mean, we don't really learn much about Agnes or Rios, aside from the fact that Rios, when she came on to him, and then she was like, I don't know about this, he stepped away from her. So that was very respectful. So that's still something we learned about him. But, like, it just still, it took a little too long, even though we learned something important about his character and his moral, at least I think, his moral high ground. But high ground, that's the wrong word, but where he stands morally.
Yeah,
right, so right. I mean, there are definitely things, I agree, there are definitely things they could shorten and not have to look into. Like, I won't get into it because you want to wrap the show up, but I'm just saying, I agree. But I'm also okay with where we are.
Cool. Well, let's definitely we'll see where next week where we're at. And obviously, we're going to get Riker and Troy, so that'll be fun to see that reunion. So that's exciting. I'm very excited to see that.
Absolutely.
And obviously, the rest of the crew has to escape while they're all hanging out, having wine and whatever else. And
hopefully enjoying. Not orgies with
I was going to say orgies. You beat me to it, Holly. You knew.
I just know you or something. You knew. I don't know.
Troy's like, it's that time. I need all the dicks possible. Soji, can you wear a strap on?
Oh, Jesus.
Maybe she doesn't need all dicks.
There you go. Maybe. Well, we'll have to find out, obviously. So, guys, thank you so much for downloading the episode. As always, you can find us at Synthaholics.com. You can email us at Synthaholics@yahoo.com. Please join our Facebook group, Facebook.com/groups/ Synthaholics, and join the conversations there. We are talking about Picard and many other things. So, say hi there. You can tweet at us at Synthaholic Duo and tell us what you're thinking about this these episodes of Picard. Do you feel like it's moving too slow? Do you feel like it's moving just right? Let us know. And if this show is valuable and you enjoy listening to us and you want to support us, please go to our Patreon.com/Synthaholics and throw us some money that way. And as always, a great way to support the show is to share the show on social media or just tell your friends that, hey, I've been listening to Synthaholics. Take a listen. We appreciate that too. Guys, we will get back in next episode. We're going to get into a new episode. This is Nepenthe. I think that's how you say it. Nepenthe?
I haven't looked at it, so I can't help you.
It's Nepenthe. T-H-E. Nepenthe? Nepenthe?
I think you're right. Nepenthe. I mean, say, it depends on what culture they derived the name of it. Rurapenthe?
Rurapenthe, yes. The penal cup.
Nepenthe. I like it.
So
well, I will be here.
Oh, you won't be here?
I will be here next week. I'm thinking I might be able to kind of record my thoughts and just kind of send them in and let you guys maybe react to them or tack them on to the end, yes. Depending on how your conversation goes. But yeah, I may or may not be able to do that. So yeah, I will not be here next weekend or next week because it's not really a weekend, but I won't be here.
All right, well. We will miss you, but hopefully we get to hear what you think. And even if you don't, you can tell us what you think that episode after.
Oh, absolutely.
Yeah, if I don't, maybe I'll just... We can start a thread on the Facebook page and maybe get some other friends talking.
Yeah, absolutely.
Well, everyone, till the next episode, we will find out exactly what's happening with Picard, and hopefully we get more answers as they come along. So until next week... Live long and prosper, one and all.
Boy, my boy, come mix me a drink. Before the night's over, I'll puke in the sink. And we'll cry till we laugh. And we'll both shit our pants. You're the best drinking friend I ever had.
That's right, exactly. I don't know. I guess they just hit all the points where they're supposed to hit for this episode. It took them a long time to get there.
Oh, I agree.
And it wasn't like super excited afterward. So, yep. Yeah. Go ahead.
Oh, no, I saw an article talking about this is how the Borg Queen always escapes. And I'm like, I figured the Borg Queen had some technology like that. I didn't. You know what I mean? Like, it wasn't that big of a revelation to me. Because I read a whole article about, like, oh, she's got this thing that lets her teleport 40,000 light years away in any direction. I'm like, oh, okay. Well, I figured she's had some sort of escape mechanism.
Yeah, it's pretty cool. And it's a Voyager reference, season one.
Yeah. Voyager.
What?
The caretaker.
Well, that wasn't scared. It was the... Was it the... I'm trying to remember. They started with an S, the race. There was the race that Tuvok and... was it Chakotay? Or no, Tom Paris went down and they tried to steal the technology from them. And,
Oh, yeah. They're the ones that, Yeah.
Janeway was super pissed at Chakotay, or not at Tuvok, for even doing it.
Trying to steal it, yeah.
She like literally felt like betrayed by him. They would do that. So.
Janeway is a moron.
Well, you know, she could have done it. Could have got home, or closer. Is there anything else besides the episode that we want to talk about?
I don't know. It seems like pretty light on news.
Yeah, nothing crazy.
No Star Trek Discovery news to speak of. No. I mean, I'm guessing that as soon as Picard ends, the news cycle will start up again.
What cycle?
The news cycle.
Because
there's been basically nothing. Like, it's been pretty dead as far as news goes.
Yeah, we haven't heard a lot on the news, and it's like when Discovery is, or any of the other episodes or series are gonna.
I mean, honestly, the only thing that's going on, like in the news, is just the rumor mill, and the rumor mill is all like Kurtzman's out, and
yeah, but that's all bullshit.
Yeah, it's just like, okay, well, I mean, give me some actual news. So stop with the hearsay. Stop with like the fake 4chan posts.
Yeah, right, like, right.
There's no actual news, so people are just making shit up.
Yeah,
I mean that's my take on it. That's how it appears.
Yeah, it's not. Yeah, there's no real news. I don't know. Okay, cool. How's it going, Holly?
It's all right.
What'd you have for dinner?
Michael smoked like 4 packages of wings.
Nice.
And we had potato salad and potato chips, and I'm having an ice cream.
Potato salad?
Yeah. So we had meat and taters.
Nice. Mm-hmm. Awesome.
Oh. You boil them, you mash them, you stick them in a stew?
Potatoes. Everything's good. I was just saying it's day in, day out stuff. Nothing crazy going on this week.
But it's healthy.
Thank God. So. Good but day. You know, next is coronavirus, so we'll have to get ready for that.
Nine coronas. Oh, speaking of like coronavirus, I was listening to two different tech videos this morning, and they were avoiding saying to coronavirus because they're like, yeah, we don't want to get demonetized. We're not going to say the name of it. I'm like, that's weird.
What?
Yeah, apparently like it's if people talk about it, it'll create hysteria, so they'll get demonetized for saying coronavirus. So they can't say coronavirus. They have to, on YouTube, they have to like song and dance around it.
Weird.
Yeah, it's really fucking weird. I'm like, that's messed up.
I mean, why are pop culture shows talking about coronavirus anyway?
It's not a pop culture. I was watching tech videos about like upcoming game releases and hardware and stuff like that. And they were saying hardware costs are going to be affected greatly by it. iPhone's going to be affected by it. Just general computer hardware, your graphics cards, your RAM, your hard drives, everything.
Yeah.
Everything is going to be affected because even if they're manufacturing it, some of the truckers unions haven't gotten back to work yet. So that there's no one to drive the stuff around, that's not going to get delivered. And so just there's lots of stuff. But the thing is, both these videos are just talking about the state of the tech industry. And they were both like, we can't say it. I was like, that's so fucking weird.
That's weird. Yeah. YouTube is pretty weird how they do things.
How they censor stuff.
Yeah, very much so.
Or what'll get you demonetized and what won't. Like, right. it's not sexual, it's not violent. I mean, I guess it hurts people, but I mean, it's just the nature of what the disease is called. It's just bizarre.
Yeah, that is odd. I mean, I can see that, you know, if they're not officials on this board that's investigating the coronavirus, then...
But you should be able to say coronavirus.
You should be able to say it.
Yeah. Yeah, they were like, yeah, we're just not going to say that word. We don't want to get demonetized. I'm like, really? That's insane. Just interesting things I've taken this week.
Should we not say coronavirus during the podcast?
I think we should just say coronavirus.
Just only coronavirus.
So the Borg assimilates you with coronavirus.
What else could we say? We could say the Mick Ultra... disease.
Mick Ultra disease.
Oh, Mick what?
Mick Ultra disease.
Molson's disease.
Also known as alcoholism.
Duffman disease.
Duffman. Can't breathe.
Duffman. You know, I think that's what's wrong with Narek's sister. Too much Duffman.
Yeah, could have been. All right,
I'll start a new file.